George, did you ever fly any other North American products, the T-28 or B-25 or anything?
No. I flew the B-25 for about 40 hours in aviation cadets at Enid, Oklahoma, most of which was gotten on cross countries and stuff like that, navigation training. It was a good navigation training.
And Alec, you flew a bunch of the North American.
I flew all of the NATA airplanes. Not much time in a B-25. That was when I decided I didn't want to be in the Air Force. I wanted to go in the Guard and fly fighters.
Yeah.
So George, also your naval experience, flying combat in Vietnam. Yeah. What springs to mind as your most memorable experiences flying combat in Vietnam?
Well, I think a couple of things I mentioned. The second cruise, first cruise is on the USS Kitty Hawk, which, as they would call it, a big deck aircraft carrier in the Constellation class. And on the second cruise, the Navy doesn't go to war, they go on cruises, during which you might get shot at a lot, you understand that. And we were then reassigned, because the Vietnam thing was going on pretty strong, from Air Wing 11, hence the three-digit 111, Fighter Squad 111, we were reassigned to Air Wing 2, two-digit, and which was based out of Alameda, California. So all the stuff after crews come back from the standard nine-month cruise, Westpac on USS Kitty Hawk became an 11.5-month cruise, and then just a couple months later, we're on our way out with USS Midway, which was built during World War II and the waning days of World War II, and it was built in three sections. So it had three section stuff on the deck, and hence the Midway had its own unique characteristics going through the water and in heavy seas, over five or six, what the Navy would characterize as a sea state, and you get up to higher numbers, it would do kind of a midway dance, we would call it. Front section would do one thing, the rear section would do something else, and the middle section didn't know what was going on. The purpose of the three compartments was in case of a strike by torpedoes or bombs in World War II, they could seal that section off and deal with it and still keep the other stuff going. Hence, we did have some rough seas, and to answer your question, was bringing my wingman back from a night mission, a daytime, nighttime strike. And as we were coming in, you can take off two or three or four, but you can only land one at a time. And so you bring the wingman in, and as soon as he calls the ball, which Mike described, then the leader goes around, changes frequencies, and comes around and lands. So I trapped, and I could tell that deck was moving an awful lot, and you could hardly walk it. So I asked for permission when I found out that old Nick was still airborne, and he was the youngest JO in the squadron, the least amount of time. Asked permission of the skipper to go out to the platform where the LSO is. And we were taking water in the hangar deck, and you had to go there to get up on. And there was room for just three guys on the LSO thing. Nick came in, got a wave off, because just as he got in close, it went down, front end went up, so he got a wave off. And then the next time he came around, when I was out there, he got a wave off because the tail end came up like this, and he got a wave off. And he declared emergency fuel, made a shortcut around, and the same thing happened again. But this time, instead of going ahead straight, wings level, he did the unpardonable and started to turn, clipped his wing, and I dove in this net. The other two LSOs dove on top of me, were drenched with JP5, and he goes skidding down the port catwalk in upside down, and the sizzling airplane came right underneath. That was a bad experience, so we lost old Nick, and I felt bad about that because he was my wingman. I'm supposed to bring him back safely.
Oh, yeah. What were your targets
when you were flying? Our targets up north were all sorts of things. The Air Force kind of had the inland stuff, and we had the stuff about middle of the way up the Gulf of Tonkin. One memorable mission was taking a flight of four, two Crusaders and two A3 Skyhawks from VA-23 up to about 30 miles short of that other big country. Then we got on the Northeast Railroad and came down, and voila, it was an early morning thing, just breaking day. And here's a locomotive with six cars loaded with ammo. So I said, here we go, guys. And I got the locomotive, which exploded just like a picture out of World War II film. And the other guys started working on the rail cars. And in the afternoon strike, there was smoke going up 30,000 feet from that. So that was an exciting example of it.
You know, it puts in perspective the fact that one of the reasons we're able to be here is because of men like this and their colleagues who have gone to war, fought war, many gave up their lives so that we could have the freedoms we have and that we can be here at Oshkosh today.
Thank you.
Mike, again, repeat for us the afternoon plan, would you, for all the NA?
Sure will, plan? Yeah. So the Warbird, about 63 of us are still going to brief at noon, but if you notice out to your right shoulders, there's about 28 T-6s in a parking area called Warbird Alley, and those 28 T-6s are going to taxi out and take off in front of the crowd heading south as part of our show. Everybody else is going to launch on runway 27, but I think the show's, I go to the whole show, but I think the NATA part of the show's starting at about 3:30. So it's going to be featuring the T-6s. The 28 ship formation is going to go by in a big arrowhead, and about 13 minutes later, they're going to come by in a big, beautiful 8-0. It's a digital 8-0, so they practiced it a bunch of times down in Dubuque, Iowa at our big formation clinic. The flight leads have the authority to change the formation back to the arrowhead if they don't like the way it looks. So we're briefing and planning the 8-0 pass as our centerpiece. And around all of those things with the big ship, there'll be about 10 more T-6s a mile behind those guys because we've got so many qualified guys they want to fly. The T-28s will be going east and west at 3,000 feet overhead the crowd. We'll have the GEICO Skytyper team up at 8,500 feet, and they're going to type a little message to you all. And we've got Aeroshell joining us. They're going to hang out in a hold pattern until the box is clear. We're going to call them in to do a few maneuvers. So it's not just going to be straight and level formation flybys. We also have the Canadian Harvard Aerobatic team, which is, they're flying, of course, the Harvards. Dave Hewitt's the skipper of that team.
Snowbirds, yeah.
Well, the GEICO Skytypers, Aeroshell, and the Canadian Harvard, they're the three, and the Trojan Thunder. We got the T-28 Trojan Thunder team. So we're going to have some maneuvering in the box with some North American formation acts, and the rest of us are going to be going through straight and level, just demonstrating the formations. So we're excited about it. The EAA folks have been very generous to NATA and gave us almost an hour of the show. The 1938 was the first flight of the T-6, September of 38, the prototype first flew. So we call that the birthday. And this is the 80th anniversary, September of this year. So this was our big celebration at Oshkosh. And in that year, 1938, Kate Smith sang for the very first time, God Bless America.
Yeah.
So if we get the timing right, we'll have Kate Smith belting out that iconic song about the time the 8-0 goes over. And if we don't get the timing right, it'll be done when the Harvard or the T-28s go by. But we're trying to make it right.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a great time celebrating the T-6 and the whole NATA family today.
George?
David, if I can make one more comment and pay respects to the Royal Canadian Air Force. I was privileged to be on exchange with them, but they sent an air division over to NATO with, and their mission was four words, top cover for NATO, which they did with great vigor and alacrity. And they built on license from North American Canadair, and they lightened the airplane by 1,000 pounds. They put the Arinda 14 engine in it because they had this mission for top cover for NATO, and 2,200 pounds more thrust. So hence, they did their mission there with great vigor. And they had an air division, two wings in France, two wings in Germany. And it was a real honor to fly with our brethren, the Spads.
General Alex, General George, Alan, Mike, thank you, gentlemen, very much.
David, I got one more comment, if I could.
Yeah? Yeah.
Well, here we are 80 years later, and there's two or three things that are the key pivotal things why we still have T-6s flying in the number we do today. One, of course, is the technology. We're 1930s, early 40s technology. It's like trying to keep a 1950 Chevrolet truck going. It's just a very simple airplane. The second is a testimony to the 1340 Pratt & Whitney engine. It's probably the best engine that Pratt & Whitney has ever produced, bar none. We fly the airplanes, you know, at max power during the show, and then we file IFR and go home. And we run the things 1,200, 1,400 hours between overhaul. It's just a fantastic power plant. If you can't power it successfully and reliably, then the airplanes don't last. And then the third thing, North American, I've never flown a North American airplane that didn't fly good. Their engineers and designers and test pilots, they got it right the first time on all their equipment. And it's just a wonderful airplane. And it'll be around another 80 years, I hope.
We're already planning the 100th in 20 years.
Yeah.
Great.
Could I give a closing?
Mike, please do, Mike.
I wanted to say our organization's got 1,000 members. Probably 700, we think, are owner-operators, pilots. Some have Comanches and Stearmans, but a vast majority own some North American trainer aircraft. Our website is flynata.org. We have a great community. If you're interested in the Warbirds and you want to just see what's going on, you can log into the forums. You can kind of get connected to the chatter about carburetor adjustments or how do you stop from ground looping or whatever. We've got a great online classifieds. We've got phenomenal sponsors. So NATA appreciates it. If you take a look at the website, feel free to join. You do not have to be a pilot. We'll try to talk you into that once you fall in love with it, but because that's how it works. So David, thank you so much for hosting this, by the way.
This is my pleasure. Believe me, this is a privilege.